And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Our Lord Jesus Christ here has five names in one verse. Five names. And when we read about this one who's called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the government being upon his shoulder, we're reminded of another verse where Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Here he is, God manifest in the flesh. It says, unto us a child is born. But it also says he's a counselor. How can a child be a counselor? How can that be? And it says here that he's a son that is given, and yet he's called the Everlasting Father. How can the son be the Everlasting Father? It says here he's born, and yet he is everlasting. How can you be born and yet be everlasting? He's called a child. And also in the same breath, he's called the Mighty God. Huh? And the infant here that's born, that says here a child is born, the infant born, and the son is given, they're both one and the same, and they're both eternal, and they're both infinite. He's called the Mighty Conqueror, the Mighty God, and yet he's called also the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. When we read things like this and see things like this, it reminds us of how little we know of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the study we've given, of all the consideration we've given, of all the things that we've said about Him, all the thoughts that went through our mind, all that we've read about Him. And yet, how little is known of Him. It's going to take all eternity. And we still won't know it all. Still won't know it all. And all, beloved, He's in our midst. He's right here. He's in our midst. And He speaks to us. And we see Him by faith. And yet there is in His person, in His glorious person. And that's what we deal with. You deal with the person. If you understand the person and you believe the person and you see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust that person, then you get everything He's done and everything He is with Him. And that's why we preach Christ. Preach Christ. And the human intellect can't measure it. Just can't measure it. Can't measure it. The mystery of our Lord's person is so deep and so glorious that if we ever know anything about Him at all, just a little, He must be the one reveal it to us. Or we'll never even know anything about Him at all. In fact, the Scripture says there's no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. And yet, beloved, once He reveals Himself to us, He's all we do desire. We're like David. This one thing have I asked of the Lord, this one thing have I desired. You know, you can't find Him out by research. Canst thou by searching find God? You can't know Him by your reasoning. You know, look in John 14. He asked his disciples one day, he said, who do men say that I, look with me in John 14. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say you're John the Baptist. Oh, you're a mighty preacher. You're that voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Others say you're Jeremiah. You're that weeping prophet because you go around, you're a man of sorrow and grief. And another says, you're one of the other prophets. But he said, but I ask in you, who do you? You personally say that I'm the Son of Man. That's why I ask him, what think you of Christ? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what he said to him? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you. Even my flesh and blood didn't deliver this unto you and reveal this unto you. But my Father which is in heaven. And that's the only way we'll ever know anything about Him is by revelation. Look here in John 14, verse 22. Here's a mystery. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, not the one that betrayed Him, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are You going to make us see You and us know You and us have a relationship with You and us commune with You and fellowship with You and the world never see You? How are You going to do that? Well, He's doing it right now. The world don't see Him. The world don't know Him. But you know who knows Him? His people. His people. And oh, beloved, He's the one who has the keys of David. He opens and no man can shut. He shuts and no man can open. And when He opens your heart, no man can shut it. And if He don't open it, nobody else can open it. He's the only one that can open it. He's the only one that can shut it. And oh, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the lesson that we're to learn. But He's also the schoolmaster that has to teach us. He is the key to the Scriptures, to our relationship with God, to understand anything about ourselves or salvation. But He's also the lock, unless He unlocks it and takes the key. But oh, beloved, He's the one to whom we look, and yet we can't see unless He gives us sight, because we're blind. Huh? And so may He be our teacher today. Oh, Lord Jesus, teach us, that we might truly learn something worth learning, worth knowing, our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? May He let us sit at His feet today like Mary sat at His feet. May this be our prayer, oh, that we may know Him and be found in Him, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. May this be our heart's desire, that we may learn and grow in grace and knowledge of who? Just information. That we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Let's go through these five titles of our Lord here. First of all, it says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. Now, beloved, this is talking about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. That's why it's called the Mighty God. You know, when the angels came to the shepherds in the field, they said, unto you this night is born in the city of David, born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What happens here, beloved, eternity breaks into time. And how did eternity break into time? Broke into time through the womb of a virgin. And He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh, but the likeness of it. He looked just like everybody else. He had a body. He hungered and He thirsted. But like you and I, we was born of sinful parents. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a woman, with God being His Father. And so He had no sinful nature. No, He was in the likeness of it, looked like it, and you could touch Him, and you could see Him, and you could handle Him. But oh, He was not sinful flesh. And the Godhead can't be born. It's eternal. And that's why Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness, and the greatest mystery known to the human mind. Known, beloved, to the human mind that you ever considered is God, who inhabits eternity, who measures the waters in the hollow of His hand, who stretched out the heavens as with a span, who calls all the stars by name, that God Himself was manifested in the flesh. If you ever see God, if you ever see God who is nothing but pure spirit, you can only see Him one place. Only one place you can know Him is in Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born. And oh, think about this. Here's a child. He's born, an infant. Come from a mother's womb. And his mother and his earthly father Joseph, love and the tender care that they gave him. He had to be taught. Had to be taught how to walk. Had to feed him. Had to instruct him. Had to clothe him. And listen at him cry as an infant, as a child. He cried, and now he's the one who hears our cries. See him helpless there in his mother's arms, who is now our help in the time of trouble. See him in need of a mother and a care and love, and see him in need as a child who now meets all of our needs as we're his children. And so he's a child born, broken into time. And watch this, it says here now, that's his human nature. He'd come into time in his human nature. God said, a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared a body for himself to dwell in. A body for God to come here and dwell in. And you know, all the gods that come in flesh in Greek mythology and Roman mythology and all of these things, every one of them had a weakness in the flesh. Every single one of them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh and had no weakness at all. He was the mighty God. But then it says here, a son is given. This is his divine nature. A son is given. Oh my, God gave him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, the grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that he would come and be given. He was given. What was he given for? Why did Christ come into this world? Why was God manifested in the flesh? What was the purpose of it? We needed a Savior. We needed somebody to save us from our sins. We can't save ourselves. We can't put our own sins away. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall. Not try to. Not want to. Not desire to. Not make it possible for you to be. But he shall save his people from their sins. And he's the Lamb of God. And what's a lamb for? To be a substitute, to be a sacrifice, to be a blood offering. And Christ had this body in which he could be a sacrifice, that he could take our place as the lamb in our room and in our stead. That's why he was given, in order to die. He came here to die. He came here to offer himself a sacrifice once and for all the sins of all these people, once in the end of the world. Oh my, bless his holy name. You know, John said, there's the Lamb of God. We know what a lamb for. Every morning they offered a lamb for Israel. They didn't offer it for Egyptians. They didn't offer it for Amorites. They didn't offer it for Gentiles. Every morning there was a lamb offered for Israel. And that high priest took that blood and offered that blood and then put that lamb on that brazen altar. And every evening they done it ever again. And they took that blood and they sprinkled it. And beloved, Christ is that lamb. That one final lamb. That blood that was shed. And he entered in once into the holy place. And he offered his own blood without spot and blemish. And when he got in there, he had come back out with eternal redemption for us. And oh, he was given to be our righteousness. Oh, what a righteousness. Men want to be right. Do anything to be right. But oh, we've got the very righteousness of God in Christ. Not human righteousness. Not the righteousness of Adam. But the very righteousness of God. To be right means that you can face the law and the law can't find any fault in you. To be righteous means you can face God and God can't find any fault in you. And then you know, how in the world can you justify yourself saying that? Christ was offered for our offenses, for our sin. But he is raised again for our justification. How can I say I'm righteous and have no sin and that Christ is my justification. See him sitting up yonder at the right hand of God. He raised again. There he is, bearing my sins on the cross. There he is in the tomb. There he is coming up. And there he went back into glory. And beloved, because he's in glory, that gives God the justification for accepting me. Because I believe him. I trust him. Oh, beloved. And why was he given? Because God loved us. He didn't give him to show us, you know, to cause us to love him or anything like that. He gave him because he already loved us. He loved us with an everlasting love, with an eternal love, and with cords of loving kindness he drawn us. Our Lord Jesus Christ came because he loved us, having loved his own, which were in the world. How long did he love them? To the very end. And you notice here it says that this son is given. This son, the child is born, but the son was what was given. God gave his son. It was the son, the eternal son of God that was given. It says he was given. Everything we've ever got from God's given. Christ was given. He wasn't deserved. He wasn't desired. God gave him. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Given because God will not accept what he accept what he himself only provides. He won't accept anything we do. He only accepts what he provides. So he provided us a son, a substitute, a sacrifice. Now what's what else is? That's why no wonder Paul said, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us his unspeakable gift." Look what else it says about it. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Who's us here? Huh? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Oh my, us. Sinners. Sinners. I've heard so many preachers say, and I say it myself, if we can ever find a sinner, if we could ever find a sinner, I could tell them without a shadow of doubt, Christ died for them. But if you can't find one, you can't say Christ died for them. Oh, beloved, unto us, sinners, unto us that are helpless, unto us with no power, unto us who have no ability, unto us who have no free will except to sin, unto us who sit in such darkness, unto us God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Huh? Unto us who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Unto us who were elect. Unto us who were predestinated to the adoption of children. Unto us that God loved from all eternity. Unto us who washed us in his own blood. Unto us who was that infant cast out, polluted in our blood, and he passed by us in the time of love. And he said, "Yea, I say unto thee, unto us," he said, "live. Yea, I say unto thee, live." That's the us. Are you one of us? Are you one of us? You say, you're pretty high-minded. Well, no, I hope I ain't. I don't mean to be that way, but I tell you, it's Idiot. I want to be one of these, don't you? Oh, I want to be one. You know, said, I don't have no ability. I just read to you, he's my salvation. He's my life. He's my strength. And oh, beloved, if he ain't all my salvation, then I don't have any. I don't have no ability. I don't have no righteousness of my own. I don't have no strength of my own. And all my will's ever got me into is trouble. So I've got to have a power outside myself and inside of me that keeps me from myself. And that's why I said, unto us. When I read unto us, I can say, for unto Donald Bell. Huh? Unto us, Brad Hartman. Huh? Unto us. Can you put your name in there? Oh, watch what else it says about him here. Oh, he's a child born, the son given, and he's given unto us. Then it says, and his name shall be called. You know why it's called this? We've all been given a name. What's your given name? When you go into before God, have you given name? God, you fill out a name. What's your given name? What's your middle name? Are you a junior? You're a second? What? You got to have a name. Somebody called you that name. When you was born, let's call him. When he was born, let's call his name John. When he's born, let's call his name Jesus. Let's call him Isaac. Somebody gave you a name. Well, you know who gave this, our blessed Redeemer, these names and called him this? His Father did. God gave him this name. You reckon God gave him a name he didn't deserve? God gave him a name he's not worthy of? God said he gave him a name that's above every name. That's named in heaven and in earth. Oh, you reckon he had a name he didn't deserve? And I'll tell you something else about him. If you ever know his name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And oh, beloved, he lives up to his name. And there's five glorious titles here. And God gave him these names. First of all, he's called Wonderful. And notice how every one of these capitalized. Every one of them is capitalized. That's a title. That's a name. You capitalize people's names. Wonderful. Wonderful. It also means this. Wonderful means miracle. Wonderful means marvelous. And beloved, when we use this word wonderful, it's sometimes in a very glib manner, but wonderful means it's full of wonder. And beloved, and we've seen things that just fills us with wonder. We just look at it and say, ain't that the most beautiful? Ain't that the most wonderful thing you ever see? And we do that. Well, that's what God says about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's wonderful. Full of wonder. He's wonderful in His eternality. There never was a time that He didn't exist. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into existence when He was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He had always existed. There never was a time when He wasn't. That's what makes Him wonderful. Here He was, and we see Him, and we behold Him, and we worship Him, and we adore Him, and we call on Him, and we trust Him, and we read about Him. And yet, beloved, He's eternal, and we're just people of time. And yet, we see Him in His eternality. How wonderful. And when He come into this world, look at His life. Look at His life. What was there about His life that wasn't wonderful? Everything He did. That's why they said, we have seen strange things today, because we've never seen anything like this. Never heard any words like this. Never seen anybody raised from the dead. Never seen a blind man receive his sight. Never seen a leper cleansed before. Never seen the lame to leap. Never. Never seen the deaf. Just by a word, start hearing. Oh my. And words, they said, oh my, never man spake like this man. And oh, and in his death, it's so full of wonder, because what he had actually accomplished. His death accomplished salvation. His death actually done what it was intended to do. It wasn't a valiant effort at God to make salvation possible, to open a door. It wasn't, our Lord wasn't a martyr in order to be pitied. No, His death. First of all, it's absolutely marvelous and a miracle that He should die at all. He had no sin. And if you had no sin, there's no reason for you to die. He's the only human being that ever man has ever been on this earth that God looked at him and said, I'm well pleased with him. He's the only man God ever looked at and said, I'm glorified in you that you finished the work that I gave you. He gave everybody a work. Everybody, preachers talk all the time about, we need to get out and work for Jesus. God gave us work to do. He's the only man who ever did a work that God's satisfied for. Huh? And oh, beloved, He is the only one that at His death, It's a marvel that he died at all. But it's a marvel what he accomplished in that death. This is, I've preached it so many times, but you can't help but say it. That his death was not for himself. And his life was not for himself. As by one man, we was all represented in Adam. We know what a representative government is. I write my representative, I wrote him last night. I write him, I call him. I mean, every time I get a, you know, I call him all the time. I write him all the time. I talk to them people in Washington. Don't do this. Don't do that. Stop this. Stop that. Because they represent me. And they'll write me back, thank you for your letter. Thank you for your call. And we appreciate it. And we'll take it into consideration. And that's what Christ is. He was our representative. He came to represent us. And we didn't ask Him to. And in His life represented somebody else. Who did it represent? It represented all that was given to Him in the eternal covenant of grace. His life was the life we lived a life in Him. And when He died, we died in Him. And when He was buried, we was buried in Him. When He was raised, we was raised with Him. When He sat down, we sat down with Him. And when He comes again, we'll come with Him if we're dead in Him. And His death, beloved, put away sin once and for all. And oh my, and His ascension. They stood outside Jerusalem there on the Mount of Olives, and disciples walked with Him. And all of a sudden they stand there talking to Him. And His feet started going off the ground. He just started lifting up off the ground. Up it went. And those fellows stood there. Where are you going, Lord? Where are you going? And all of a sudden they seen Him go up into the clouds. He is going back where He come from. He's ascending back to that throne. He's going to sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In the tabernacle, there never was a place for the priest to sit down. Because their work was never finished. Day and night, all day and night, they offered sacrifices to never take away sins. Continually. They continually done it. Never a place to sit down. No chairs. They on their feet offered sacrifice. But our Lord Jesus Christ, our priest, after He entered in there and obtained eternal redemption for it, there He sat down. Why? Because His work is done. No more offerings. No more sacrifices. And why is He also sitting there? Because I read it to you there in the 27th Psalm. We had enemies. Accusers. Though our enemies accuse us. And we have an enemy before God that accuses us. And Christ stands there and takes up our case and our cause. He intercedes for us. And then not only is His name wonderful, but look what it says here. It says Counselor. Counselor. Well, ain't this something? God said He worked all things after the counsel of His own will. Well, who was the one God counseled with? He sure didn't ask me into this. You know, people ask you what do you think I should do about this? What do you think I should do about this and that and the other thing? They won't. And you know, they got a place up here where you can go and learn how to be a counselor. But oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, whoa, what a counselor. You got to be wise if you're going to be a counselor. You need to know the whole story to be a counselor. You need to know both sides of the coin to be a counselor. You got to have infinite knowledge to be a counselor. You got to know what tomorrow is going to bring to be a counselor. And all that God purposed to do in Christ before the foundation of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ was the counselor in it. He is the counselor. Everything that our Lord Jesus Christ, that's why it's called the wisdom of God. That's why it's called the power of God. Everything God did, He did by Him. Everything that God created, He created by Him. All, everything is in Him. And oh, beloved, what a counselor in creation, in providence. And oh, He is our counselor. You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. You know what you do? You go to Him. Oh, Lord, lead me. Oh, Lord, guide me. Lord, don't let me go this way. Don't let me go that way. He's our God. Not only is our God, but He's our way. He's our wisdom. That's why David says, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. Watch this now. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. What for? For His sake. For His name's sake. And oh my, what does He counsel us? What are some of the things He counsels us to do? And we can find these things in His Word. He counsels us to love. Love you one another. He counsels us to forgive. Forgive you one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath. He counsels us to forbear. Forbear one another in love. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He counsels us to be humble. Don't count yourself to be anything. A man who counts himself to be something when he's nothing, he's deceived in himself. Huh? He counsels us to be generous. Generous. Don't be stingy. Be generous. God's been generous with you. Everything you have, He gave it to you. You don't have anything that belongs to you. You say, well, it's mine. No, it ain't. He can take it from you that quick. He can take anything you've got just in the snap of the finger. So don't think you've got anything that's yours. Everything's His. Just be a good steward of what He gave you. And then, oh, beloved, He taught us to be giving. And He counseled us to trust. Trust. He counseled us to cast all our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. He counsels us to wait upon Him. When you don't know what to do, He said, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. And He counseled us, He says, come unto me, and you'll find rest for your souls. He counsels us to find rest. And He counsels us to our eternal hope. You know what He said? He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He didn't say if you believe. He said, you do believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. But I'm coming again. But I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again. That where I am, oh, what a wonderful word of counsel. I'd wait for that, can't you? Then where I am, there you may be also. And then He says, He's the mighty God. He's the mighty God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Watch this. The Word was God. And everything that was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You ever went through the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, where He says, I am? He said, I am. And every time He said it, they understood that He was talking about the God who met Moses on the mountain. I am that I am. They understood that. I am. I am. Except you believe I am, you're going to die in your sin. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Oh, I am. He's the great I am. His words, everything He said, and every work He did testifies that He was God manifest in the flesh. He's as eternal, though He was born in time, as eternal as God. He's equal with God the Father. He's existed as long as the Father has. How the Father and the Son exist all together at the same time? Well, when you're God, you can do that. You know, that's why it's called the mystery of Godliness. How can the Son and the Father be the same age? How can the Son, that's why so many people have such problems. How can the Son exist as long as the Father has? And that's why they say that Jesus Christ is just a creature. That's why He's saying He couldn't be God manifest in the flesh, because you could see. But oh no, He's God. He's God. And when you're God, you can do that. That's what makes Him God. That's what makes it a mystery. Huh? He didn't just come into existence at Bethlehem, and he didn't cease to exist when he died on the tree in Calvary. He was God when he was born, he was God while he lived, and he is God when he died, and he is God when he went to the tomb, he is God when he's raised again, and he's God sitting out at the right hand of God. And the only God you'll ever see will be Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And oh, you know how you'll recognize him? First of all, same way you do now, by faith. But when you see him by sight, you'll recognize him because of the marks in his body. You'll see him with the marks in his body. He's as a lamb as it had been slain. Because he'll always, that man, Christ Jesus, sits at God's right hand. And he bears the scars of a man in his body, though he's the mighty God. And beloved, as the mighty God, he's able to save. But also as the mighty God, he has the power to damn. Oh, he can uphold you or he can bring you down. Can't he do that? He was the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person. And he's not God humanized. He's not man deified. And since our Lord said God alone is worthy to be worshipped, that's why we can worship Christ, because he's God. Now look, let me show you this here right quick. Let me show you this. This is something. Not only is he the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, but look what it says here. He's the everlasting Father. You know, we say there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Here he's called the everlasting Father. How can the Son that's given be the everlasting Father? There's only one Father in the Godhead. He prayed to his Father. I'm going to show you tonight in Matthew chapter 6 how many times he's referred to as our Father, to show you this wonderful relationship. And our Lord prayed to his Father. He called him Holy Father, called him Righteous Father. And he's our advocate with the Father. Ain't that right? How then is he the everlasting Father? How is he the everlasting Father? How can that be? Well, only to his elect, only to his chosen people, only to his redeemed. Now, how can he be that way? I'll tell you why. Because it's by him we're begotten again. We're begotten again by an incorruptible seed. We cannot sin because his seed, whose seed? Christ's seed remains in us. And he loves us from eternity. Since he loves us from eternity, that means he's everlasting. And he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that gave us this eternal salvation. And he's our everlasting Father because he cannot die. And he said that he'd never leave us fatherless. I'll not leave you as orphans. And it says that he saves us from everlasting to everlasting. And since he's the author of eternal life, that means he's our Father of eternity. He's the one that gave us this eternal life. And as an everlasting Father, he clothes us with an everlasting robe of righteousness. He gives us everlasting forgiveness. Bless his name. He forgives us of past sins, present sins, and future sins. Because when he died, all my sins were future. Right? And oh, beloved, listen now. And he gives us not only everlasting forgiveness, but he gave us everlasting justification. Our justification didn't just take place when we believed. Our justification took place when Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation. It took place when Christ died on the cross. And it took place when God saved us. We didn't know anything about it until we heard the gospel. Right? And oh, beloved, he's the Father of all that's ours, because they come from him and because of him. And then last of all, look at this. The wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, he's a king and a prince by birth. That's why Herod said, "Where is he that's born King of the Jews?" Born King of the Jews. They knew that David was going to have a son, and when he would be born, when he would come, that the Messiah would be born king. Born king. And oh, beloved, and he's a king and a prince by office. He's a king and a prince by power. And he's a king and a prince by authority. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto him. And he's called the Prince of Peace because he established peace. He established peace. Established it. Ain't that what it says down in verse 7? Look there in verse 7 here, Isaiah 9. Of the increase of his government and peace. His government, where he rules and reigns at as the king, as the prince, he brings peace with him. He brings peace with him. There's peace for us. He established peace. He brought peace. And he gives peace. My peace I give unto you. He established peace between man and God. He slew the enmity that was in my heart against God. And he consumed the wrath that was against me from God. And now there's peace between God and myself. And since I know that, I have peace in my heart that passes all understanding. And he's the one that gives peace. He sustains peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now watch what it says here quickly. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and watch this, the government should be upon his shoulder. Don't say shoulders there. It says shoulder. Shoulder. The government. What government? Everything in this universe is given. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hands. Everything that's on top side of God's earth, from me and you to the smallest minuscule thing that there is in the hands of Christ. It's in his power. He governed over it. That's why, you know, I was reading something in a bulletin this week from Jim Bird's bulletin, where it said this fellow, this preacher, was talking about how gloomy the times was at the Revolutionary War. Said the times are dark and the times are gloomy. And we don't know what things will happen, by whose reign we shall be under, what we shall eat, where we shall die, what shall happen in this war. But he says, one thing I know is that he's got this world in his hands. He had George Washington in his hands, Thomas Jefferson in his hand. He had America in his hand. He's got you in his hand. He's got me in his hands. He's got Obama in his hands. He's got every senator in his hands. And he'll do what he will with them. And we're going to live with it. And we're going to bless his name for it. Huh? Government's on his shoulder. If it wasn't, what would you do? What would you do if the government were on his shoulder? What could you do about it? What could you do about it if it wasn't? What could you change in this world as to who reigns, who lives, who dies, who's healthy, who's sick, who's saved, who's lost? What could you do about it if the government was on, if it wasn't on him, if it was left up to you? What could you do about it? What could you do about your own salvation if the government wasn't on his shoulder? Oh, what could you do about it? Folks say, I love it. here's the thing about his government. He rules in wisdom. He rules in love. He rules in grace. He rules in power. He rules in prudence. Oh my, he's got the wisdom to know everything to do. And then it says there, and verse 7, and of the increase of his government and peace, watch what it says, there shall be no end to it. There'll never be an end to it. There'll never be an end to the government of Christ. This world is his, and soon he's going to destroy this, and he's going to bring a brand new one into existence. And ain't nobody going to live on it but his people. The righteous. And then watch what it says. And it'll be, He's ordered it, and upon His kingdom to order it. It's been ordered to establish it. Order it and establish it. It's established. And then look what it says in the last part of the verse. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, He'll perform this. You reckon God can do it? Oh my. Oh, what titles. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. And thou shalt call His name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of His government there shall be no end. Amen.